Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Volume 1, Chapter 4, Text 81. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Hanuman Uvacha. Tesham Apadgana Eva. Satamasyu susevita yevidaya prabhum vyagram sadya sangha mayanti te. Sri Hanuman said, all the calamities that befell the Pandavas were most auspicious and desirable because those calamities made the personality of Godhead anxious to join the Pandavas quickly. Commentary. When Krishna heard that the Pandavas were in danger, he would want to drop whatever he was doing and go at once to help them. And since the Pandavas' misfortune was auspicious, how much more auspicious was their good fortune? Krishna helped the brothers kill Jarasandha and then washed the feet of everyone at Yudhisthira's Rajasuya sacrifice. So who can adequately describe the glory of the Pandavas' loving exchanges with Krishna? Before Hanuman had said that the Pandavas' troubles were not real and that they were only a show arranged by Krishna to advertise the Pandavas' steadfastness and other saintly qualities. Now Hanuman speaks differently. Even taking for granted that the calamities were real, as they seemed to ordinary eyes, those troubles brought the Pandavas the greatest good fortune. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Varagya Yug Bhakti Risham Piyatnai Apaya Mamana Bipsimandam Kripam Buhiya Paradhuka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Ghor Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Boston. I'm with Eka Chakra and Nitya Seva. And had a lecture here in one seminar yoga place called the Arlington Center. And the class was at 2 o'clock. And it was the first sunny day, beautiful day in Boston, after 5 months of torturous winter. So when I opened my class, we had 15 people there that were kind of new to me, about 15 people there that I knew. But I made the comment, they said in India, only a mad dog and Englishman would go out in the midday sun. And I said, in Boston, only a mad dog and something else won't go out in the mad day sun. So I really appreciated the people that were there, that came. And it's always nice to see, now that I'm speaking regularly, that there are people that are coming regularly. You don't always have to depend on new people. And then meeting them afterwards and having dinner with them or things like that. So it's nice to share the richness and depth of the, basically, the tradition of knowledge that's come in Guru Parampara. And especially with the way the world is changing, spiritual life is becoming more and more of a priority for people. So it was nice. So we're now discussing the bhakti of the Pandavas through the eyes of Hanuman. So it's nice. It's almost two devotional expressions you always get to experience at once. One, you get to experience the description of bhakti that's being made, and you get to appreciate the describer of that description. And they're equally glorious expressions of devotion. In fact, the main expression of devotion is the talking about the object of your devotion. And I remember how startling it was when I read in Bhakti Sandarbha, not startling, but edifying probably, when I read that your level of devotion is exactly commensurate with your desire to glorify, chant and hear. That's kind of a humbling also. But that, there's no difference. That's your bhakti. And therefore, in the spiritual world, the main activity is glorifying Krishna. It's the kirtan goes on constantly in the spiritual world. Again, the only difference is that our kirtan is done as a practice to attain devotion, and that type of kirtan is an expression of one's devotion. So we're hearing the kirtan of Hanuman and the kirtan of the Pandavas glories. Because kirtan can glorify the Supreme Lord, it can glorify the devotees. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. That one should always, nityam bhagavata sevaya, you should always, nitya means regularly, every day, glorify and serve the Bhagavat, the book Bhagavat, and the person Bhagavat. The book Bhagavat is about the person Bhagavat, the Lord and his devotees. And the person Bhagavat is always glorifying the book Bhagavat, which is about the Lord and his devotees. So this is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is the essence. The essence of the Bhagavatam is pure devotees glorifying Krishna and pure devotees glorifying other pure devotees. And that's the Vaishnava society. Machitta, matkata, prana, bodhiyantas, parasparam, Bhagavad Gita. Machitta, matkata, prana. Always thinking of Krishna. Machitta. The mind is always absorbed in Krishna. That's actually how bhakti works. That's how worship of God is defined. Because I'm studying the Patanjali Sutras. That's how worship of God is defined. Basically, chanting Om repeatedly. And Om is the pranava mantra, and pra comes from prakritena, means perfectly, and the rest of the phrase means that he is praised. So it means you're chanting, but you're doing it in a devotional mood. So that's the process of bhakti. And what happens is, by doing that, two things happen by kirtan. One, it touches the soul. It brings out the nature of the soul. So the nature of the soul gradually begins to pervade the consciousness. And the nature of the soul is service, devotion. And it cleans the mind. And it puts impressions in the mind. The impressions of serving God as it becomes your main attachment. I said attachment is memories of pleasure. And you can have memories of healthy pleasure. I like to serve others. I like to glorify God. I like to think deeply about, you know, spiritual life. Or you can have unhealthy pleasures. Intoxication, illicit sex, dishonesty, so many things. This is how the process of bhakti works. And those who are advanced in spiritual life, their mind is surcharged with devotion. That's their main pleasure. And when it comes to a point of addiction. So what is addiction? Addiction is when you have strong memories of pleasure for something because you're constantly indulging in it. And when you indulge in something, the memory of that pleasure, the attachment, increases. And it increases to a degree that you cannot control it. It consumes your consciousness. So by chanting and hearing regularly about Krishna, that becomes our addiction in the consciousness. And when you come to that level of spiritual addiction for Krishna, where your main impression and your main pleasure is Krishna and the glorification of Krishna, that energized mind attracts the Lord's internal potency to imbue the mind and reveal within one's eternal relationship with God. That's the state of these devotees that we're hearing about. And they're extremely enthusiastic because that's their consciousness. So it's Hanuman describing it, and it's really Hanuman's glories, although he's describing the Pandavas. Yes, the Pandavas' glories, but the real glory of the person is not the description of him as much as his actions of glorifying others. You actually see it. Someone's saying the person is advanced, but you really see he's advanced when he just wants to glorify God. He just wants to glorify the devotees. And specifically, he's glorifying someone who he's saying is better than me. We generally don't glorify someone who's better than us unless somehow we partake in the fruit of that glorification. It's our identification. We glorify someone because, you know, I have the best guru. So we glorify the guru, meaning that I'm somehow great. Or we glorify some sports team because, you know, I'm somehow great because I'm a fan of that. But it's very hard to glorify. And the thing about this, the person they're always glorifying is almost equal. He's just a little bit above. And that's the hardest person to glorify out of envy. If someone is in another category, somehow it doesn't invoke our envy because we don't put him in our world. We create a world where we are supreme. We don't want to be challenged in that world. So sometimes someone who's far ahead, it doesn't disturb our envy as much as someone who's potentially within our world. So we see here in this description, it's always someone who's just a little bit above. And they're completely enthusiastic about glorifying them. First, we had Prahlad. We discussed that. So Prahlad, he's such a great devotee. He's always remembering God. But then you have Hanuman, who's just a little bit more intimate because he's the personal servant. Prahlad spent a little time, but it was mostly in reverence. It wasn't intimate service. And now we'll come a little bit more ahead to the Pandavas, who served the Supreme Lord in such a way that the Lord became their equal. The Lord came close to them. So these are the classic divisions of devotion that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and now they're mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We're always mentioning the parallels between the two. So Hanuman, he said, the Lord chose to glorify the Pandavas, and he chose to glorify them to demonstrate their determination, their dharma, their wisdom, their love. So they're so great that the Lord wants to make an arrangement to glorify them. Therefore, they put in difficulty, but it's just an arrangement to glorify them, just like Bhishma, dying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but the whole world is coming to hear his answers to the questions of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So you understand, that's Krishna's arrangement, because he loves him so much, he wants him glorified. So this is what Hanuman's saying. Look what he's arranged. He's arranged all these difficulties to highlight their character, to highlight their determination. Even Srila Prabhupada went through difficulties. But in one sense, we can look at it the same way, that he had such qualities that Krishna wanted to arrange a situation for his glorification. And in that sense, you could say it wasn't suffering. Because they see God's mercy in every circumstance. Here in this verse, it's going to say, well, it really was real. It really was real. And therefore, it's another glorification. It was so real that Krishna came to them. And when you have this kind of level of love, that's all you care about. Even in ordinary sense, and it's only a mental infatuation, it's not really of the soul. But even in a mental infatuation, we know how much someone wants to be with that other person. And that pleasure of being with the other person supersedes any other difficulties. Just like the story of Bilva Mangala Thakur. He was at the funeral of his father, and he was so attached to this beautiful prostitute, Chintamani. He was so infatuated with her. His desire to be with her, the memory of the pleasure he had of being with her and her beauty, was greater than any other pleasure he had in his consciousness, including the pleasure one gets from honesty and dharma, which a cultured man, his greatest attachment is to truth. I was describing yesterday, that's why in the previous day, you know, people would hear the Mahabharata, they would see their parents, and everybody was dharmic and honest, and they followed the principles of truth. And because you respected them, that impression was made in your consciousness. And when you have that, then if you have a bad habit, you say, I vow not to do it. And then any time, I was talking yesterday about Vedic psychology, and one thing that's described is programming. So it's the program. I vow. I won't do it. And then when that desire comes up, then your attachment to truth comes up at the same time. I mean, the cultured man, his attachment to truth supersedes anything. That's why Prabhupada would call the politicians rascals. because he would see they lied through their teeth. I did not have sex with that woman in front of the whole country, he said it. And of course, in American culture, it was no big thing that he lied, right? But I have to say, I would appreciate my father for that reason. He had some kind of moral values, and he hated Bill Clinton because of his immorality. And because I had a very kind of sweet relationship with my father, and I would always have fun. I can't even say what he said. I'll say it anyway. If I walk in my father any time, I said, Dad, what do you think of Bill Clinton? He goes, that SOB. Immediate reaction. He would actually say the words. So that truth, that honesty that people had, it was greater than anything. So then Hanuman, fond memory of my father. I appreciate it. Kind of like Dharma. He had moral outrage that someone would lie publicly. Of course, it's not such a big thing these days. Previous it was.